dead things in your life. So this is a cross between teaching and prophecy, and we're just going to believe God. I believe, Father, that you will take the reins and do what you do best by building up and edifying your people. Lord, as I pray before, I pray again, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For you, Lord, are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to find your way to Ezekiel, one of the major prophets. We're going to go to the 37th chapter. If you grew up in a Baptist church, you know this scripture. I grew up in AME church. I know it too. And so this non-denominational church will be introduced to this concept. Amen. When you find Ezekiel 37, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Amen. When I see a few more people stand up, I gather you will have found it. Still in the Old Testament, sort of toward the end. All right. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, I know, that's all right, let him preach, let him praise. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into me, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, performed it, saith the Lord. And then we're going to go to Matthew 23, because we have to bring it into the new. Can't stay in the old. Getting in trouble. Thou son of man, that holy phone voice. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so, also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets, and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Lift up your Bible, say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught of the Lord, and I shall receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm getting out of my grave. Say, I'm getting out of my grave. Amen. I'm getting out of my grave. I saw this posted, and it fit right into, actually, it was the jump start to what God wanted me to share with you today. So I'm going to read this into your hearing. I want you to listen carefully. It's a really interesting story. This woman writes, she said, I sat on my porch with my Bible and a hot mug of coffee. Early morning is my favorite time of day, just me, Jesus, and a smattering of birds. However, this morning as I looked out over my backyard, my eyes landed on a mound of fur nestled in the grass. I moved in for a closer look. My heart sank as I discovered what appeared to be a curled-up, lifeless baby fawn, probably the same fawn my neighbor had been nursing from its mom the day before. My heart broke. I understand the cycle of life, but still, a baby fawn lay dead in my yard, most likely the target of the coyote I'd seen roaming around. I couldn't get close enough to see the wound. Sometimes that is the way of things. I would have to wait until my husband got home to take care of the situation, as I didn't have the nerve. All morning long, my mind returned to the still form lying in the sun. Hours passed. At noon, I looked out of the window, and the fawn remained unmoved. I couldn't stand it. I had to know what had happened to it. So I mustered up my courage, and I made my way to the fawn. 3 feet away, stop. No signs of an attack. I inched closer. Finally, I knelt down by the beautifully crafted creature, admiring God's handiwork. But I couldn't see what had killed it. What happened to you, little deer? I whispered. Suddenly, the fawn's head popped up. Startled eyes stared into mine. Like a deer caught in the headlights, I fell back on the grass. Time stood still for a moment as we stared at each other in disbelief. Finally, the fawn sprang to its feet, wobbled a bit, and scampered off. I sat in the grass and laughed and laughed and laughed. So the fawn wasn't dead after all. It had simply found a bit of grass and fallen asleep until almost noon. After my heart rate returned to its normal pace, God spoke to my heart. Sometimes things are dead, and sometimes they just need to be woken up. Amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to either wake up some stuff, or we're going to resurrection stuff. Whether your dreams are dead, or whether your dreams are paralyzed and sleep, this word is designed to wake you up and to wake up your plan and your purposes. Because the Lord God will say to you that for many you think your dreams are dead, they just sleep. They just sleep. But you got to be the one to wake them up. So we're going to look at Ezekiel, and then I'm going to take you to, and Diane, you'll love this because, you know, she got her Bible with all her notes. I know you have not made a cross-reference from Ezekiel 37 to Matthew 23, but the Lord showed me something, and it's amazing that cross-reference that will bless you. In Ezekiel 37, we're talking about a nation that was dead. And today, with all the political, you know, situation and the evangelical right, and they always stand behind Jerusalem, and I have no problem standing behind Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Israel is not perfect, folks. Wake up. Smell the coffee. But nonetheless, they are a part of God's eternal plan. That nation, that land, that people is part of God's eternal plan. But there was a time that Israel no longer existed. There was a time that after the first and second sieges that came with the Babylonians and came with the Syrians, they were dispersed, scattered. Israel was destroyed as a nation, and all of the people were dispersed into the various heathen countries. Jerusalem itself was overrun sometimes by Muslims, which is why you have, for example, now the Dome of the Rock, which is Islamic, where the temple is supposed to be. And they're waiting for that temple to be restored. That's part of God's prophetic time clock. But that's because they lost possession of the land. They were scattered all over. And in the midst of this scattering, God sends the prophets. And he sends Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos and a number of prophets to speak to a nation that had no longer existed, to speak to a people that was scattered in all of the nations. Eventually, through Nebuchadnezzar and a few others, they were allowed to return. A remnant was allowed to return to Israel and Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and rebuild and begin the process of rebuilding. But it would take thousands, hundreds of years. And then it was not until 1954, I believe, that Israel became a nation again. And that was after World War II, and it was after the Holocaust. Our current president refused to acknowledge the Jews were part of the Holocaust, which I just didn't quite understand, because that's what the Holocaust is about. It's about the Jews. And because of the attempt of human genocide, the United Nations and all the nations of the world came together, and Israel, as Scripture said, in a day was reborn, and the land was given sovereignty by Israel. So that was the rebirth of Israel as a nation. And so here we see where in chapter 36, God now is speaking to a nation that is hopeless. Can we say hopeless? Hopeless means the absence of hope. Right. They had no hope. They had no expectation. They had no future. All of their dreams had been dashed. Once the temple was destroyed, and when I say destroyed, it was burned, and Sennacherib came in and took that temple apart brick by brick, not even brick, stone by stone, till there was nothing left but the wall and part of the wall. And so you're looking at this people, and yet in the 36th, God begins to minister to them and say, but I'm going to restore you. I'm going to restore you. And then in 37, he talks about the process of restoration. And he talks about that. And so we're going to look at that, and then we're going to jump to the New Testament, because this is an application to you in this day. Because he says here, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley of dry bones. The valley of dry bones is a valley of death. When we think of valleys, often we think of green pastures and waters and hills and animals jumping back and forth and so forth. But here, this valley had become carnage. It had become a valley full of dead men. These men that were scattered all over, that were now in the form of bones, had been the result of a battle, of a harsh and cruel battle that took place within this valley. So now we turn that which was supposed to be good, and it becomes something that is negative, something that, because if you're in the valley, and you're in the valley, and your enemy is at the top, you're sitting duck. Because you are trapped between the walls of the valley, and now they can come and kill you. Now, if you're up there and your enemy's down there, it's a different story. So Israel is typified as this nation that had come to the valley, which is why, and I think it's Isaiah, he talks about every believer coming to the valley of decision. The valley of decision, where you got to decide. You can't go right or left. You're either going to go for God, or you're going to stay behind and lose God. And we talk about that valley of decision. Well, this was a valley. And these people, these warriors, had lost. They were killed and massacred. More importantly, they had not been buried. And back then, the worst offense that you could create or place on someone is to kill them and not bury them. And even in the Old Testament, when God spoke to Israel, he required them to bury even their enemies. Now, one of the reasons we understand that is that disease and so forth is transmitted. But they had not been buried, so their bodies were laid out all over the place. Then the sun had come and baked for many years, had baked them to the point where there was no sinew, there was no muscle, there was no flesh. All there was bones. But then the wind had blown over them so that the very bones themselves had separated from themselves so that they were just a scattering of parts. Amen. And God is now speaking. He says, Israel, this is how you are today. You are a scattered nation. You are disintegrated. There's no northern kingdom. There's no southern kingdom. You have no prophets. You have no king. You have no leaders. You're scattered all over. You're just like this valley of dry bones. Now, it says here in the midst of that, that the hand of the Lord was on the prophet. So the prophet is now sent in the midst of the valley of dry bones. Amen. So the prophet is in the midst of dead men's bones. And it says in chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, and caused me to pass by round about, and behold, there were many in the open valley. So the prophet was set down supernaturally in the midst of all of these bones to observe and to look. To observe and to look. Now, why is that important? Because no matter how dead your bones are, God is still observing and looking. He's walking around in the midst of your scattered dreams. He's walking around in the midst of your hopelessness. He's walking around in the midst of the repercussions of every bad thing and negative thing and hurtful word that you have ever had to endure. And he is walking around in the midst of them, observing, looking, seeing what word is necessary to cause your bones to live again. So he's walking around in the midst. Now that's interesting, because under the law, the prophet or the rabbi was not supposed to be associated with anything dead. You're not supposed to associate with anything dead. But because God loved Israel so much, he violated that law and sent Ezekiel to observe. And now he asked him a question. He says in verse 3, he says, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Amen? Yeah. Now let's look at that situation. Can these bones live? What is the obvious answer? Yeah. No. See, y'all getting all spiritual on me. Y'all getting all, I know the end from the beginning. You know, I've seen the end of the movie, so I know how it ends. If you at the very beginning of the movie and everybody's shot dead, you ain't going to be like, oh, he's going to come up again. He's going to show up. No, that's the way movies work. You get upset about it. You don't know how this is going to happen. Y'all know when she ate that apple, that was it. Everybody was crying. The first time you read the story, you're like, oh, my God, she's dead. And it's only later. So you look at things from hindsight. But imagine this nation. All they see is their hopes vanished. David is gone. The line of David is gone. The line of the prophets is gone. All of this, they're just dead. The law, the Mount Sinai, everything where God spoke and said, the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now they can't even find their relatives. Their relatives are scattered among all of the nations, even in the world. They're bowing down to other gods. And now God sends Ezekiel, and he says, and he looks at this, and Ezekiel knows all of this, and he's looking at this valley of dry bones, and God asked a question. He said, can they live? The obvious answer is no, because they're already dead. Amen. And this had never happened before. God had never stepped on the scene of thousands of bones and caused them to live again. See, we get all spiritual, and we always look at the end from the beginning. You got to look at the beginning to know how to walk to the end. See, if you look at the end, you think life is supposed to be a bowl of cherries, that nobody ever walks through something. And you know what? It's like we look at resurrection morning, but we always forget about Good Friday. Amen. Come on now, say it. You got to know how to navigate Good Friday to get to Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And so here, there's hopelessness. There's nothing. But God does something. He asks a question that is counterintuitive. He asks a question that you know the answer to, but you know God's trying to get you somewhere. Because he says, can these bones live? You know what it's like? It's like the joke. Who's buried in General Grant's tomb? Do you know how many people will get that wrong? They'd be like, Washington. It's like a 50% chance, because you're thinking you're being tricked. That's what that was. Because God is saying, he's testing the prophet. He's saying, prophet, do you know me well enough
to know that if I'm dealing with a valley of dry bones, I have the power to make them alive again. He's asking, what is in your heart about me? What do you know about me that will override what you're seeing in the natural? And God asks you every morning, what can your bones live? Can your hopes live? Can your dreams live? Can your expectations live? And you got to be able to give him the answer. That's the right answer. The answer that's going to provoke faith. The answer that's going to provoke the hand of the Lord being upon your life. Because it was the hand of the Lord upon the prophet. And so he says, a good answer. He says, oh, Lord, you know. Oh, Lord, you know. Who knows whether your dreams can live? Who knows whether your plan and purpose can come to pass? Who can override every negative word that was ever spoken to you? Who can override every debt and every oppressive situation that's come to block your dreams? See, you got to know when the devil comes and asks you, can your bones live? You got to be able to say, he knows. He knows. He knows. So he said, son of man, and he said, thou knowest. Again, he said to him, do something about those dead bones. He said, you prophet, do something about those dead bones. He woke me up and said, you prophet, do something about the dead bones in your congregation. See, I've been walking around y'all for a very long time. I've been walking up and down you. And every time I walk up and down and around you, the Holy Spirit whispers something in my voice, whispers something in my ear about your dead bones. He whispers certain words that are designed to encourage you, but you got to have the strength to receive them. Because if you can't receive the word of the Lord, you won't get your deliverance. But I'm walking up and down the midst of you, and I see your eyes. Sometimes they're dim. Sometimes they're black. I see your head. Sometimes they're head down. They're focused down. I see your praise. It's all muted. It's all weak. It's all withered away. You can barely hold your hands up. You can barely look forward. You don't even look forward to Monday because Monday's like Friday, and Friday's like Saturday, and Saturday's like 2008. And so, and what you do is, and I was trying to hold off, but in Matthew 4, you get this symbolism where we have the outside decorated. So I'm going to have to go there. Let's go to Matthew 4. He won't let me. I got to put it together. So I looked at dry bones, and he took me to Matthew 24, Diane. We've been there. We're just going to go back there. Matthew 24. Okay. No, I'm sorry, 23. 23. Go to 23. Matthew 23, verse 27. You ready? As T.D. would say, let's read. Read out King James Version. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Now you say, what has this got to do with Ezekiel 37? Well, what has got to do with Ezekiel 37 is, in Ezekiel 37, we had a valley full of dry bones that God sent the prophet to speak a word so that the process of restoration could begin. In Matthew, Jesus is talking, and he's saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, y'all walking around like you better than everybody, and condemning everybody, but you're nothing but walking graves with dead men's bones inside. So, whether your bones are laying in a field or whether your bones are inside your own body, whether your bones are inside your heart, inside your spirit, and either situation, you are walking dead men. He told me the title is Christian Zombies. But I knew y'all wouldn't be able to handle that. See, only the early generation that walks the walking dead and all that stuff would get what I'm talking about, because you understand what zombies are. You know what zombies are? Zombies are dead men that somehow by a virus or whatever gets resurrected, but they really don't have real life. They just have this fake life. And they're walking around. They have no purpose. They have no drive. They're just walking around trying to kill each other, trying to spread the virus, but there's nothing alive. There's no purpose in them. And what the Lord wanted to tell me is that many of you are walking Christian zombies. Because you've lost your purpose, you've lost your dreams, you've lost your direction, and you've lost your hopelessness. And when you are a Christian that has no hope, you're dead. Because the beginning of faith is hope. Hope is what gives God something to work with. He says that he will make your hope alive through your faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith needs hope. And when you have no hope, you have no diagram as to what you want your faith to bring to pass.
Amen. Come on
now. Yeah. You can't be an architect and build a building if you don't even know how to draw it.
Amen.
Architects have to see it and draw it. Then the workers can build it.
Amen.
And many of you want God to draw it. You want God to see it. And you want God to bring it to pass. And God says, I am not going to bring my power upon you unless you got the gumption enough to start drawing what you want to happen. So you got this image of these, and he's talking about the Sadducees and Pharisees. Now, I want to do a side note. The evangelical right and everyone, and I'm very hard on them right now. God's working on me, but I'm very hard on them because they make some really bad choices. They do a lot of condemning. They condemn this group, and they condemn that group, and they condemn this person, they condemn that person, they condemn the sinner, they condemn whatever. If you'll notice, Jesus only condemned the people in the church. He only dealt with the Sadducees and Pharisees. He only held to account the people that had revelation of what truth is. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? The sinner don't know how to live righteous. So how are you going to condemn them for something they don't even know about? You got to love them into revelation so that then the judgment of God will attach. Jesus only focused on the Sadducees and Pharisees, not the sinner. In fact, with the sinner, he sat down and ate dinner with. As one man said, and I posted on my Facebook, you cannot demonize the group that you're trying to evangelize. That set me free. You want to demonize the group, but then want them saved. Once you demonize them, they ain't listening to a word you have to say. Would you? Now, back on. So, when you have lost your hopelessness, when you've lost your direction, you're wandering, and you have no diagram for what you want the power of God to bring to pass in your life, and when you have no hope, and when you have no direction, and when you don't even know what you want Monday to look like, then you're walking dead men. And he said you're like a tomb. A sepulcher is a tomb that's whitewashed on the outside, but But all it carries is bones on the inside. You know what whitewashed is? Is when you come in here and pretend everything's all right. When you come here and pretend I got this under control. When you come here and pretend, you know what? I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every moan. It's when you come in here with your head up pretending like you got this connection with God and you ain't heard from God in 2 years. When you know, Lord, just do a new thing in my life and you have no idea what the new thing is. You wouldn't even know if it hits you in the face what the new thing is. You have no direction as where you want your life to be in 2 years. You don't know whether you want to have a job, don't want to have a job. You don't know whether you want to write a book, don't want to write a book. You don't know if you want to direct a play or not want to direct a play. You don't know if you want to go to the military or not in the military. You don't even know what you want your family to look like. You're just dead bones. Because for many of us, we have given up hope and we have turned everything to God and say, Lord, you make something out of my life. And God is asking you to stop walking around as a walking cemetery. Because what I placed in you was plans and purposes ordained from the foundation of the world. But you are going to have to breathe life onto those bones. You've got to look at them and first recover them. You knew what you wanted when you were 20 and 22 and 24. Many of you came to the city like I did, expecting to just break it, bust it wide open. I'm here. I am the person y'all have been waiting on. You knew you had this idea of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to be and what impact I wanted to make on the world. And then circumstances and situations knocked you off course, knocked you off the path. And then you began to settle for mediocrity and you began to settle for whatever's going to make you survive, whatever's going to pay the bills, what was ever going to keep you going. And all of that, you can't find any happiness because there is still within you the bones of God's ordained plan and purpose that he is never letting go of. Because God never deposits in any human being a plan and purpose that he does not plan to see come to fruition. Amen. And whatever we have been called to do and whatever we have been called to believe and be, we have got to look at that. Pick it back up, not be afraid because I'm 50 that I can't walk out my plan and purpose. Abraham was 99 and still had a baby. Now, I don't plan on doing that anytime soon. But what I am talking about is when the hand and the power of the Lord is upon you, you now have the power to redeem the time. You have the power to have your dry bones begin to produce life again. But you first got to look inside of yourself and say, yeah, that's me. I'm a walking sepulcher. I am a grave. I have given up. I have drunk myself into submission. I doped and drugged myself into submission. I couldn't face how dead I was. So I just medicated myself so I wouldn't have to look at myself. Some of you got rid of every mirror in the house, in the apartment, because you don't want to even see what you look like. Dry bones, full of purpose. And so when we see here, we see that God is calling us to self-inspection and saying to you, don't look for your pain. Don't look for your disappointments. Don't meditate on the broken relationships. Don't meditate on the failed relationships. When you start going into your sepulcher, when you start walking around like the prophet, you got to look for God in the midst of your destruction. You got to look for his plans and purposes in all of the mess of what your life may be today. You got to stop focusing on what I did and focus on what I could have been. You got to stop focusing on I failed here, and you got to focus on, but I'm still alive today. And in the midst of all of this, God is walking around my dry bones, and he's telling me and asking me a question, and he's saying, can your dry bones live? So when we go back to Ezekiel 37, we understand that the dry bones are us. That the prophet is the one sent by God to cause you to hear the word of the Lord. That's my charge today. Walking up and down the midst of you, saying, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And the first word of the Lord was, can they live? I'm calling you to hope. I'm calling you to expectation. I'm calling you to a newness of life where you once and for all put your past behind you. You claim every new year to put your past behind you. But every new year, you're still focusing on the same hurts and the same resentments and the same bitterness. But if you put it behind you, why are you meditating on it? If you put it behind you, why do you care when you see your ex? He's an ex. He's an ex. She's an ex. That means that when I have put the dead things behind me, she can walk right in front of me and there is no response because I don't respond to things that are already dead. If I see them, they don't take me back to where I was. They don't take me back to what I went through. They don't cause no stir up in me. Woe is me and oh, and what could have been and what should have been. Because it's dead to me. It's like it never existed again. So I now walk through the valley of dry bones and I'm like, you dead. He says, I forget your past. But he asks you, can they live? He's calling you to hope. And you got to be able to tell him, yes, I can. Turn to your neighbor and say, yes, I can. My bones can live. My bones can live. That's all right. I'm affirming today that they can live. I'm affirming today that they can rise up. I'm affirming today that there's some life in me that I don't even know about. I'm affirming to me that I've got a plan and purpose that cannot be denied. I'm affirming today that I'm a child of the living God. I'm affirming today that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am affirming today. So that's the first step. You got to confirm. The first step is when this word is released, you got to meet it with an open heart. You got to meet it with an open heart. You got to say, that word is for me. That word was for me. God had me on pastor's mind when he filled him with that word, when he sent him to this house on this morning, on this day, he had me on his mind. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. So now he tells the prophet, prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the bones. I'm supposed to prophesy to the dead graves that are walking around in my church. I am supposed to prophesy to the dead people that have given up their hopes, given up their dreams. I'm supposed to walk amidst the people and declare to those bones that you got to rise up, you got to live, you got to be more than what God, what more than what the enemy is saying. I got to walk among the bones, walk among the grave and say, you better rise up and know who you are. You better rise up and know who you are. Don't be looking down like you're afraid of me. I got to walk among the graves. I got to walk among the graves. And I got to tell these graves, That you're going to rise up. That your dreams are being resurrected this morning. That your futures that were dark and black now have the light of God's imprimatur on it. I'm giving you license to dream again. License to expect more than what you have experienced. License to go beyond what the doctor's diagnosis is. License to know that there's something supernatural about you. License to know that where I walk, God walks. So he said, say unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. You shall live. David said, you shall live and not die. Why? Why? Finish it for me. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. When the prophet comes through to speak to the graves, to call the bones to rise up, it is for you to give glory to God. It is for you and your life to give glory to God. It's that your achievement will be accounted to Jesus' glory. He wants you to rise up. He wants you to live out your plan and purpose because Jesus gets the glory. And if Jesus' glory is hanging in the balance, how much more will his Holy Spirit help you bring it to pass? When Jesus' glory is hanging in the balance, not your glory, but God's glory. Not your edification, God's edification. And when you make his edification your purpose, the Holy Ghost will give you everything you need. So what's in your heart regarding your possibilities? Tells Ezekiel to speak directly to the dry bones. And if you think about it, anything that's dead, when you start telling it to come alive, that's called good news. Am I correct? When something's dead and you tell it to come alive, it's good news. When you poor and somebody tells you to be rich, when you're sick and they tell you to be healed, when you're depressed and they tell you to be happy, good news is always the reverse of the bad situation you're in. See, the church got this all messed up. Their good news was, oh, you're broke, busted, and disgusted, you're going to remain that way, but God loves you. Yes, he loves you because you can stand in the midst of your situation and can't get out, but he loves you anyhow. Well, you may die tomorrow, but it's all right because you live for today. I know he's been good to me. How do I know it? Because he ran me over by a car. And I'm standing here paraplegic. But you know what? God's been good. That ain't good news. That ain't good news. Good news is that I was poor, but I ain't got to be poor no more. Good news is that I was sick, but he raised me off the sick bed. Good news is that I had no favor, and now I got all the favor that I can do with. Good news is that I'm more than a conqueror. Good news is that I'm not going to remain the same way that I was today. Good news is that I was depressed, but now I'm joyful. Good news is the opposite of what you are in, which is why when he spoke to the bones, he was pronouncing good news. Now, are you ready for this? Diane, what's another word for good news? It's called the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is translated good news. It's the word of good news, but it's the word of deliverance. So the prophet was speaking the gospel to the bones.
Here's another secret, Diane. The word of God says in Ezekiel that he called Ezekiel the what? Son of man. He says, son of man, prophesy. Who else was called the son of man? Jesus Christ. So now we're getting in here. Because Jesus is in chapter 37. Because Jesus was the son of man and son of God. And so what we now learn from this is that Jesus is placed into your grave. Now check this out. He can only be in your grave because he conquered death. So before he got in your grave, he had to conquer death. Now that he's conquered death, he, the Son of Man, is in the midst of your dry bones, inside your grave. And what is he asking? Can these bones live? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, let's keep that in mind. Jesus, the Son of Man, standing outside the sepulcher of the grave, which is you, the believer, who is hopeless, filled with dead dreams and dead purposes. Y'all see the image? Person, grave, bones, dead. Jesus outside through the prophet speaking and declaring and asking, can these bones live? What does that look like? It looks like to me Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus.
Yes.
Yes. Ah!
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
So he's standing outside of the tomb.
Yes.
And he's looking in. Lazarus is somewhere in the darkness of that grave.
Yes.
You, some of you, all of you, are in the darkness of the grave of your defeat, your demise, and your hopelessness. And Jesus is standing outside of you. Through me. And you know what he's looking for? I'm going to blow y'all away. He's looking for the original you that he sent. He's looking for the original you that came out of his spirit that was sent into that egg that came through the birth of your mother and father prior to all of the abuse, prior to all of the anguish, prior to all of the hurt, prior to all of the disappointments, prior to all of your hopelessness, prior to all of being crushed in spirit and crushed and dominated and spoken ill of. And he's saying, where is the original you that I have called to be in the earth realm today? Too many times does the prophet make a call and the old you shows up. That broken, hopeless you. And you're crawling, trying to get to the altar. Weighted down from your past. But when God called Lazarus, the first thing we know is he said, Lazarus, come forth. The reason he had to name Lazarus was because he conquered death. If he hadn't put a name on it, everybody would have come out of that grave.
Come on now. Come on now.
Now that tells me one thing. It tells me that Jesus wants all people saved.
All those people that they're denigrating and demonizing, they're his children. And you can be a scribe and a Sadducee if you want to.
Come on now.
But more importantly, he knew Lazarus by name. Sometimes we get up here and I make this call and prophets make this call and y'all not sure if it's for you. Kind of look around. Is that my word? Is it my day? As if it's not always your day. But you know in your heart that you don't, there are days you do not feel like God is calling your name. There are days where you feel like everybody's being blessed but you. Luke 4 has the same reference to the graves. But what it says in Luke 4 is, old Sadducees and Pharisees, you are like graves that are hidden that men walk over. You're like graves. And men are walking over you, stepping on you, killing your dream, killing your purpose. And every time you have the strength to raise up your little head, it gets stomped down again like one of those video, one of those games at the carnival where they pop up and you know you got to hit them and keep them down. You keep trying to pop your head and it seems like the enemy is keeping, and you're just walking over. And the other thing that tells us is that sometimes you feel not only are you dead, but nobody cares and you're not even seen. Do you know that there's some graves in the cemetery that if you don't put a headstone, you'll never know they're there? Is that you? Is that how you feel? Because I'm telling you, there are days that's how I feel. I feel like everybody has gone ahead of me. Everybody is doing what I want to do and doing it better. There's part of me is like, what, Lord? I got this purpose. I got this plan. I'm about to blow up. And yet everybody is just, they seem to be just going and walking over me and ahead of me. And it causes you to just recede and just, it's not worth it. I can't fight anymore.
And come on now.
Speak, Lord.
But Jesus is standing at the door of your tomb. And although it may be hidden and not marked, he still knows you're there. And what did he say to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. If I am telling you to come forth in your plan and purpose, by definition, I am releasing the power to cause your bones to live. Because the only way that Lazarus could come forth was if his bones had been resurrected.
Amen. Come on now, sing it.
He said, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So he prophesied as he was commanded. Say commanded.
Amen.
This sermon is a command from God. You know what a command is? I'd be in a whole lot of trouble if I didn't preach it. But you know what a command also means? It is an undeniable prerogative of God that he is saying to you today, I am commanding you to get up off of your butts and start believing him. He is commanding you to get over your hurts and over your pains and over your disappointments and over your mama issues and your daddy issues and your broken husband issues and your broken wife issues and the loss of loved one issues and illness in your body issues. If you're still alive and still moving, there's no reason why you can't bring your plan and purpose to pass. He's saying, get over it, folks. I'm commanding you to wake up. I am commanding you to stand up. I am commanding you to dream again. when this command comes forth, it says that they became a rattling of the bones. There became thundering and lightning. Because the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord brings noise. So the second thing that's going to happen to you today, if you receive this word, yes, is that returning to you is the noise of your praise.
Yes. Come on now. Oh, yes.
Oh, folks. Oh, dead people. The problem with dead people, and one of the reasons God don't like dead people, is dead people don't praise him.
That's right. Amen.
Dead people don't praise him. When you're dead, you can't praise him. When you're dead, you can't open your mouth. When you're dead, no sound comes out of it. That's why God don't like dead people. That's why God don't like death. That's why he sent his son, so that you would have everlasting life, because he wanted everlasting praise. And since you're going to be praising him forever, why don't you start today? Why don't you get a good running start today? Why don't you praise him today like you're going to live forever? Why don't you praise him today like your new day is today? Why don't you praise him today like you heard me today? Why don't you praise him today like you know who you are today? Why don't you praise him today like you've been resurrected today? Why don't you praise him today like you know he showed up today? Why don't you praise him today? Because he made you who he made you to be. Praise him today. Praise him today. Let the thunder start. Let the rattling of those bones start. Don't you understand? Listen to me. Don't you understand that before the bones can come together, they got to start rattling? Before the bones come together, they got to start vibrating. And the only thing that's going to vibrate your bones is your mouth, your tongue, your lips, your lungs. That's what rattles the bones. That's what rattles the bones. When you stand up on your feet and learn how to praise him. When you stand up on your feet and something begins to take over. When you stand on your feet and there's a vibration from heaven that flows through your body and causes you to dance, causes you to praise him, causes you to give him glory. Got to get some praise music set up. You got to figure out something. Because the other thing about graves is this. And it's something. Y'all can stay up because I'm done. I think I've finished my course. But this is what you got to understand. By definition, graves cannot hold live people. Y'all don't know what I just said. By definition, graves house dead people. And so you may have been this morning a walking grave. But if the spirit of the walking grave begins to rattle, begins to vibrate, begins to have some sinew and some meat and some blood coursing through it, when that bone begins to lift up a bony hand and praise God in the midst of the grave, now the grave can't hold you any longer. What am I talking about? It says that the grave could not hold Jesus. And you know why the grave couldn't hold him? Because when he gave up the ghost, he sent his ghost to the Father. But after 3 days, Not one, not two, but three. And you have walked through your Good Friday period for too long. You have walked through that period of being crucified and murdered and dead by the enemy for too long. Good Friday is only supposed to be a 24-hour cycle. But you have made it a 35-year cycle. Some of you have made it a 70-year cycle. When are you going to get to Resurrection Sunday? When are you going to get to Resurrection Morning? Oh, resurrection comes when the power of God hits your dead bones and causes them to vibrate so that you rise up and say, Lord, have your way. Are you through with Good Friday? I don't know about you, but I'm through with Good Friday. I'm walking in Resurrection Sunday every day of my life. I am walking in Resurrection Sunday every morning of my life. When I get up tomorrow, it's Resurrection Sunday. When I get up Tuesday, Resurrection Sunday. When I get up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. When I come out of the hospital, Resurrection Sunday. When I get out of the bank and they tell me I ain't got no money, Resurrection Sunday. You better believe. When your ex walks by you and calls you, you ain't in Good Friday no more. You ain't carrying around dead things anymore. You ain't letting them rattle your bones anymore. Because our Good Friday is over. You better text somebody, Good Friday is over today. My daddy issues are over.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, he wasn't there for me.
Yeah.
Yes, he didn't take care of me.
Yeah.
Yes, he didn't even know my name.
Right.
Yes, I had to find him at 23.
Yeah.
Yes, he died of cancer at 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what?
It's over.
Yeah. Good Friday is over.
Yeah.
Resurrection Sunday is on the way.
Right.
I am a child of God.
Yeah.
I have been raised by a good mother. I know who my daddy is. I know who my mama is. I know how good he's been to me. So I ain't got time to be that broke down kid still looking for daddy. We don't need daddy. We got daddy. You don't need your mama. You got your mama. Here's your mama. Here's your daddy. Here's El Shaddai. Here's more than enough that you ever need. Familiar, you don't need that anymore. Oh, yes, you are a beautiful woman. Oh, yes, you are a handmaiden of the Lord. Oh, yes, you have been through trials and tribulation. Oh, yes, you have been on the urge of giving up. But that ain't who you are. That's not who God called you to be. You are highly loved, highly favored, highly blessed of God. And I'm breaking that orphan spirit over you today. I break that spirit over this child.
Say it.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Say it. Yes, Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
Thank you, God, that he will never, ever feel unloved. That he will never, ever feel discarded. That he will never, ever feel less than. Let him know that he is loved. Let him know that his days of orphan is over. Let him know that those that are for him are greater than those that are against him. Let him rest in the peace. Let him stop acting out because he got the peace of God and he knows he's no longer an orphan. Brothers, you're no longer orphans. Y'all are no longer orphans. You are no longer discards. We are men. We are men that can assume our positions in society. We are examples. You are an example whether you know it. You are an example by default. There is an anointing on every man's life that when you walk through the streets, kids, look at you. Y'all, you're being chased by all these women because they are misconstruing the anointing for their emotions. See, they want to touch you because they're after the anointing and they got it mixed up with their sexuality. True men know how to carry that anointing and guard that anointing and stick with one woman that's going to love them like the Lord loves them. Real men don't have to chase skirts. Children chase things that they ain't supposed to touch. But you're men. And we have the strength to make wise decisions. And from this day going forward, all of that past, all of that, some of you been molested, it's over. And you won't talk about it because real men don't talk about that stuff. You don't talk about Uncle Charlie or Aunt Susu. But I know. You don't talk about the neighbor kid up the street that you were afraid of. God knows. God knows. And you women, you got to stop hiding behind uncle and cousin that approached you at the wrong age and at the wrong time and got you all screwed up in the head. That ain't you anymore. It's been washed away. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know if everyone in here is saved, but salvation is easy. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. If you've never done that, I'd invite you to do so. Just repeat after me, oh God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son, that he died on the cross. He carried my sins through Good Friday, through the crucifixion morning, into Resurrection Sunday. So I declare today that I am saved. I am set free. I declare today that I am no longer grave, but I am a living child of God. I declare today that I have stepped out of my grave. And today, I'm going to praise my way out of my grave. So for the next 30 to 60 seconds, I want you to praise your way out of your grave. I want you to praise your way. I want you to vibrate. I want you to shout. Men, I want you to declare. Men, I want you to raise your hands high. Men, I want you to declare that I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I am more than a conqueror. I am a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I want you to think about some of your dry bones, and I want you to kick them out. Just kick them out. All those memories, kick them out. Ladies, kicking out all of those words. Kick them out. All of those bad memories, kick them out. All of that negativity, kick it out. All of those voices when you get quiet, kick them out. That's dead stuff. That's dead stuff. Sammy is dead.
Will your heart and soul,
all of that is over.
Say yes.
It is done. It's
will
over. It cannot be dwelt on again. There is someone waiting, observing, has been looking for a while. But you know when somebody's preoccupied with dead things and they just walk on past. But when your eyes look to the hills from which cometh the help and you say, Lord, I'm ready for whatever you have for me in my new season, then your Boaz will show up.
Now will your heart and soul say, will your spirit still say yes? Yes. Yeah. If I told you what I really need, would your heart and soul
right now, I want you just to...